The scripture for today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and each received a denarius. When those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So, the last will be first, and the first will be last. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I want to start our time together this morning with a question. Does anyone remember what the 10th commandment is? You don't get to answer because you know the answer to this already. Anybody? All right, the 10th commandment reads, "You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that is your neighbor's." When you look at the 10 commandments, they're broken into 2 parts. The first 4 commandments are how we are to relate to God. So this is the part that talks about having no other gods but God. And the second part of the commandments, so commandments 6 through 10, talk about how we are to relate to our neighbors. So this is the part that talks about not stealing or lying or committing adultery or coveting. The reason that we have these commandments is they're meant to teach us how we are to relate to God, but also how we are to live in community with one another. And the reason that the commandment for not coveting is in there is because coveting or desiring that which isn't ours will only lead to jealousy. And we cannot love our neighbors if we're jealous of them. This morning, our scripture reading is the parable of the workers in the vineyard. In it, Jesus highlights the generosity of God through this character of a wealthy landowner. This parable also highlights our own inclination to covet that which God chooses to give others. We are represented by the laborers who grumble at the wages they receive from the landowner. This parable is inviting us to reflect on what in our own lives we are coveting and how we can give this desire over to God. Now, you're only going to find this parable in Matthew's gospel. It begins with a wealthy landowner going to the marketplace and hiring laborers to work his field that day. Now, this was a common practice in the ancient Near East. What was a little bit uncommon about it is that a wealthy landowner would typically have a manager who would go to the marketplace every day and hire these laborers. And the manager probably would not pay people hired at the end of the day the same wage he paid people hired at the beginning of the day. But this is the landowner, this is the boss. It's his land and it's his money. He can do with it as he chooses. The conflict in this parable comes at the end of the day when all of the laborers, regardless of how much time they worked, receive the same wages. So the laborers hired at the beginning of the day accuse the landowner of being unfair. But they're actually missing the point of the parable. The point of this parable is that God's grace and mercy and forgiveness are God's to give away as God sees fit. All we can control is our reaction to God's action in our lives. Now, I think it's fair to say that we've all done a bit of coveting over the last couple months during this pandemic. I know that I have spent way too much time scrolling through social media when we were at home. And it's really easy to forget that social media, so things like Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, those are actually not reality. They are the one perfect moment that someone is posting in an otherwise ordinary day. When I was putting this sermon together and I was thinking about where in my life I've been coveting, I got to thinking about my friend's gym. So when the coronavirus pandemic started, all of us were freaking out and trying to figure out how we were going to work out from home because all of our gyms were closed. So my friend and her husband are in the process of turning their backyard into a gym, complete with squat racks and barbells and rowing machines and weights. And every day they would post pictures updating on the status of their gym. The reason that they built this gym is so that she, her husband, her kids, and maybe a couple neighbors could work out together. Now, I know what you're thinking. Gee, Pastor, if you want a home gym so badly, why don't you just cancel your gym membership and build one? Don't think, I haven't thought about it over the last couple months. But there are several practical problems that inhibit this from happening. The first, and perhaps biggest, is I don't own my home, and my landlord is great, but I can't see him being super excited about me drilling holes in the wall of his garage so that I can put up a squat rack. The second problem is that I have a neighbor that lives beneath me. She is 22 and on a good day gets up at 11:30 in the morning. I can't imagine her being okay with me dropping a barbell on the garage floor at 7 in the morning and shaking the entire house. Also, gym equipment is expensive, and it is almost impossible to find right now because everybody is trying to work out from home. And this is, you know, perhaps the most important. So as you all know, even with a coach monitoring me, I still manage to injure myself regularly. And I keep having this vision of me like dropping a barbell on myself and nobody else being there to call 911 if I need it. So in my head, I know that building a home gym right now just really isn't practical. And I thought once I knew in my head that it wasn't practical to do this, I would quit being jealous of my friend. Well, it turns out knowing something in your head does not automatically make you stop coveting that which isn't yours. I know it's ridiculous to be jealous of my other friend figuring out how to make the best of a bad situation. I'm grateful that I'm able to leave my house and go to the gym now that it's open again. But more importantly, I know that this jealousy is not good for our friendship. If I'm jealous of her, then how can I be friends with her? It was funny, as I was putting this sermon together and I was talking with my family about preaching about jealousy and coveting, my mom reminded me of this kind of famous story in our family where, I think I was, I don't know, five, so my sister would have been two or three, and somehow Emily got two scoops of ice cream and I only got one, and I threw this most epic tantrum because she got more than I did, and I was older and I should have gotten more. And my mom said she remembered her dad, my grandfather, sitting me down and saying, "Rebecca, everyone is at a different part of their journeys. It is just not acceptable for you to be mad at your sister for getting more ice cream." I didn't know it at the time, but what he was trying to teach me is that it does nothing to be jealous of other people's good fortune. Life is difficult for everyone. It's harder still if we can't celebrate other people and their small victories. I really think learning how to celebrate other people's good fortune is our key takeaway from this parable. We don't want to be like the day laborers who bemoan the good fortune of the laborers hired at the end of the day. I hope this week you will take some time reflecting on what it is you are coveting and how maybe you can give that desire over to God. Maybe you all don't have dreams of building your own home gym, but I imagine that there is something you have seen other people have or do that you really want to have or do. I know for me, one way that I'm trying to give that over to God is I've really had to get disciplined about spending less time on social media. Because constantly comparing my real life to other people's make-believe lives is only making me jealous. Now, maybe for you, you are not coveting your own barbell, but maybe you have to do things like making less trips to the mall, or maybe not picking up the phone when your friend calls for the third or fourth time to show off something that you would like to do. Whatever it is, naming and then redirecting our jealousy takes spiritual discipline. Friends, whatever you have to do, I hope you remember this. The goal of giving over a desire to God is not to make ourselves look better in the eyes of others, but to say that what God is doing in our midst is more important than my desire to have my own barbell. Coveting destroys community because it robs us of the joy of celebrating other people's good fortune. Jesus' parables are meant to get us to think critically of our own lives and of the world around us. I think we can all agree that one thing this world needs less of are people who are envious because God is generous. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.